Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Come on, everybody. Let's praise him. Let's all just lift our voices, lift our hands. Let's glorify the Lord. Father, we magnify you tonight. Father, we're not ashamed to lift our voices. Father, you are faithful. You are good. You're our saving God, our healing God, our provider, our protector. And Father, we just praise you tonight. Father, we've come ready to rejoice. Father, we've come ready to respond. Father, we've come to celebrate the fact that we are the children of the living God. Father, we just love you and praise you. You are faithful. You are good. And Lord, we just glorify your name. Father, we receive your word with joy tonight. Father, we thank you for instruction and revelation knowledge. Father, we thank you for the truth. And Lord, we just know the truth makes us free. And Lord, we're just going to receive it with joy. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, you're glad to be at Prayer 200 here tonight. Yeah, praise God. You know, last week we had 142 folks show up and be ready for prayer. It looks like we're probably in that neighborhood again. Folks, let's just keep on growing. You know, we're doing a 10-week semester of Prayer 200, which of course, again, is our goal to get 200 people gathered to pray for our region, for these cities, praise God, for the churches, for the lost in our communities, and so on. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to do so as a church family. And so let's be faithful, right? We can be committed for another 8 weeks. And then, of course, we'll go to Erie for a few weeks. And then we'll be back here later in the fall. You know, let's just be part of this. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I appreciate you coming out. Appreciate you being here. Are you ready for the word of God here tonight? Praise the Lord. If you could bring me down just a little bit, I feel loud up front here. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Of course, this is our second week here out of 10 weeks in this semester. And tonight I'm going to call this message Praying with Passion and Compassion. Praying with Passion and Compassion. Last week we talked about the access that we have, or the admission that we have into the presence of God the Father through Jesus Christ. How many of you are born again by the blood of Jesus? All right? Well, half of you, that's wonderful. We're gonna, I know many of you are turning in your Bibles and such, but if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, we have an audience with God the Father. That literally, the Bible says, we're gonna read it again over here in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 18, but the Bible says that we have access, that we have been granted admission to go into the Father. And what admission means is that somebody paid the price for us to go in, amen, to go in before the Father, and we know that we didn't pay that price, Jesus paid that price. And he gave us access to the Father. And let's go over to Ephesians 2:18. We just want to read it again, and then we'll go over to chapter 3 here in a second. It says, for through him, or through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, that's really big news, because in the Old Testament, there was no access to the Father like that, all right? But through Jesus Christ, we've been invited in. In the Old Testament, it was stay out or stay away, because God knew that his righteousness, that man could not stand in the presence of God as long as man was accountable for his sin, all right? But since Jesus came along, died and rose again, and by faith we've received him as Lord and Savior, we can go in and have access to the Father, but not just that, but to have boldness and confidence, knowing that we have been washed and cleansed from all shame, from all guilt, from our past. Amen. All right, and that's where it says over in chapter 3 in verse 12, it tells us how to behave in the presence of God. All right, Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. All right, we're supposed to go before the Father with boldness and confidence, not in ourselves, not because we were worthy on our own, but believing in Christ, we have that boldness and confidence. You know, so many times Christians, they go before God, they start to pray, and they think they're going to get somewhere by just telling God how awful and rotten and unworthy they are. You know, that is not how we get God's attention. We go there boldly in the name of Jesus, knowing that we belong there, we're invited there, and God personally wants us there. Amen. And we've got to pray with that knowledge. We've got to have boldness and confidence and not sit there and shake and waver and, you know, tell God how rotten we are. We don't deserve him and things. Yeah, we didn't deserve him. But the fact of the matter is you are redeemed now. And God expects you to have faith in what Christ did. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, we said this last week. If you need to repent, if you need to get right with the Lord, do that. And he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can stand in his presence with confidence. And of course, last week we began to teach how to be effective in prayer and praying in your known language, meaning, you know, praying in English without before you get to praying in other tongues. Of course, we've got to be effective in all avenues of prayer. We need to know about what the Bible says about praying in the Spirit. We need to be effective in praying in the Spirit, but we cannot only pray in the Spirit. We need to be effective in praying with our understanding, all right? There is two sides to that, and so often if we're not, you know, if we get lazy in prayer, we'll just go right to praying in tongues and say, there we go, I did my duty, I'm done. But no, God wants to hear your desires. He wants to hear where, you know, what you want to see happen, and we're going to talk about that here tonight. And so last week we saw that there was some very effective prayer in known language. Remember over there in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23, John and Peter, they were beaten and persecuted for their faithfulness to Christ, and they were let go, and they were warned not to preach in the name of Jesus. And of course, they went back, and the whole church lifted up their voice, and remember how they prayed and one accord, and they prayed together. They said, why do the heathen rage and imagine vain things? They've gathered themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ to do that which God planned ahead of time to do. Now grant to your servants that with all boldness we would speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus, holy child Jesus, the King James says. And they prayed boldly in their language, with their understanding. All right, and it says the place where they were sitting was shaken. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. All right, and notice that they had great results in effectiveness by praying in their understanding. They worshiped God. Remember, they said, you are he that created the heavens and the earth. Remember, they started talking about God's creative power. They boasted upon God. They quoted scripture in prayer, and that place was shaken and their lives were changed, because they prayed effectively in their own understanding. And if we've ever been given the impression that our own understanding can't have effective prayer, that's not true, all right? It is untrue to just lean upon only praying in other tongues, all right? We need to be effective on both sides. Amen. And then we went over to Acts chapter 16, and we see Paul and Silas. They were in prison. Remember at midnight, 1625, Acts 1625, remember that? And it says, as they sang praises and prayed, remember that? It said the prisoners heard them. The foundation of that prison was shaken. All the chains fell off. They were just praising God, worshiping God in their understanding, and it brought an effective result. Now, go with me to James chapter 5. Now, we're going to continue teaching on how to pray effectively with your understanding. And tonight, we will focus on an often forgotten element of prayer, and that is your desire, your passion, what you want to see happen. Yes, your compassion for people and what you want to see happen in their lives. Go to James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, we've got to have a desire to see something come to pass. We've got to repeat it to God over and over. Not just pray some token prayer, put it down, never come back to it. Well, clearly your heart wasn't connected to that. Yes, we're going to see this in the Word. And so often, Christians' prayer time has become so laced with their personal desires for their self-enrichment that they have no personal desire to see, you know, their neighbors saved or their family saved or their community changed. They're praying about their stuff, their trials, their needs, their situation. And all of a sudden, we don't have any true passion or compassion for to see something big and great happen in people's lives. Amen. You know, I have a great heart for these cities. City of Jamestown and the city of Erie. You know, I believe this region will see and is seeing a move of God. I believe it. I desire, you know, more than anything that our churches will have at, you know, when it's all said and done, when the Lord comes back and we all stand, you know, before him at the judgment seat of Christ, he will look at us and say, you did everything you could to see your city saved. You prayed for the lost. You had a heart compassion. You had a deep desire to see things change in your community. Praise the Lord. It all begins with prayer. Now go to James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Isn't that interesting? All right. It's actually not talking. It's talking about how the power of God does come back to those that sincerely pray for others. And he says in the second part of the verse, which we're going to focus on tonight, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice that word fervent, effectual, fervent prayer. See, when someone prays with fervency, it means they have passion. They have great desire to see something change. Can you bring this verse up in the Amplified version? Of course, many of you are familiar with it in the Amplified. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. He says, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. What is a spiritual tone of mind and heart? Praying for others. But the body of Christ, inadvertently or unintentionally, has gotten the idea to just pray for themselves, to just focus on their own needs and their own problems. I'll tell you what, you know, if you're dealing with circumstances, tough times in your life, start praying for somebody else. Find somebody that's in need. Bring their situation before God and pour your heart out before God for somebody else. See, what should happen in the life of a believer, we should stop being such a demand and we should start to be a great supply. That's what the spiritual tone of mind and heart is. When you've gotten a hold of God, you're not just so consumed in your life circumstances. You start pouring your heart out for somebody else and you become a supply and not so much the demand. It says the earnest, heartfelt, continued. Oh, I like that. That's what praying in your known language should be every single time. All right. The earnest, heartfelt, and continued. All right. Again, not just something you mentioned once, but something you kept pouring out before God, pouring out before God. And this is in your own understanding, you understand. This is in your decision that you know what you're praying. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. All right. Isn't that awesome? You can make tremendous power available for somebody and for yourself through your sincere, heartfelt, continued prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. And go down to verse 17. You can keep it in the Amplified. We can read it. It says, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly. Everyone say earnestly. There's that word again. That means heartfelt, with a deep desire, all right, with passion. All right, he poured his heart out. He prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And notice this, this is a reference to Elijah praying in his known understanding. This wasn't something he prayed out in tongues. Elijah couldn't pray in tongues. In the Old Testament, it was not available. He prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Why? Because even though he was a human being just like us, he poured out his heart before God, and great power was made available, and it changed that land. Of course, in that situation, Elijah was dealing with a wicked king and a tough place for Israel, all right? So look what effective, heartfelt, continued prayer can do even in your understanding. And so this is what a lot of Christians, Pentecostals, are doing before God. If we're not careful, we go before God and we say, Lord, here I am. Here's my few little token requests. Lord, thank you for this and that. And here we go. I'm going to pray in tongues. And we don't have any true release of faith. We don't pour out our heart's desires. See, I'm telling you, it's in your known understanding that your desires are going to manifest. Remember, you know, praying in the Spirit is what we do when we know not what to pray for. And that is the case many times. But we should have something that we want to see happen in our friends' lives, our family's lives, in our community, in our church. You know, you might know somebody going through a tough situation. You know, of course the Spirit may help you to pray for them. But before the Spirit helps you to pray for them, you should be praying for them with your understanding that you pour your heart out with great compassion. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, notice this kind of praying was in known language. See, this is the foundation of effective prayer. You really got to want it. You've got to want it. You have to want it desperately at times. And it must be without selfishness or coveting for personal gain. Glory to God. We need to have a fervency. Amen. Not to just, you know, follow rules in prayer or just try to perform in prayer, but really because our heart yearns to see someone's life blessed and changed and helped. Come on now. Amen. God knows our heart, but our desires must be displayed. It must be manifest in prayer. Let me give you an example of this. Go back in the Old Testament to 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20. How many of you remember a gentleman by the name of King Hezekiah? Actually, the king who was noted as being the greatest king that Judah ever had, which is really amazing because King David is in that line, all right? And so the Bible says there was no king like him before or after. Hezekiah was a very godly man. Now watch this in 2 Kings chapter 20. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, praying in the Spirit did not exist for Hezekiah. It says in verse 1, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Remember what had happened? He had that infection, or what the Bible called a boil. I mean, we're talking about, probably in modern language, it'd be something like staph infection. You know, his blood was becoming septic or whatever, okay? And so he was very sick, and it says he was sick near death. And the prophet Isaiah, who is the author of the book of Isaiah, right? The son of Amos came to him and said to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Talk about personal prophecy. You don't want to step into the prayer line and hear that. It says, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, now, to us, it sounds like that's just something that Hezekiah did. But in that culture, turning to the wall and putting your face to the wall was an act of humility. It was an act of humbling himself. And look at what he does. Hezekiah starts to pray. And he says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And it says, and Hezekiah wept sore. All right. Now, what does that mean? It means he poured out his heart. You know, he had such great desire for this thing that it drew him to tears. All right. Verse 4, it says, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and I have what? Seen your tears. I've seen your desire. I've seen your heartfelt passion and desire for this thing. Isn't that awesome? God didn't just hear his prayer, he saw his tears. You understand this? Hezekiah didn't just say, oh Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. You know, he didn't go into some religious. He turned to God. He humbled himself with everything in his heart. He said, Lord, I have been faithful to you. I have walked before you all these days. I have obeyed you to the fullest. You have seen how I've done right and it has pleased you. He cried out to God. Amen. He says, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up unto the house of the Lord. Verse 6, he says, and I will add to your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took it, laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So notice God's healing there also had a practical side to it. There was also a medical side to it. All right, it says he recovered, and of course God had led and instruct them to use this treatment. All right, but see how this came to pass? See how the word of the Lord, how is it that the word of the Lord came through Isaiah and said, Hezekiah, get your house in order, you're gonna die. All right, why did the word of the Lord say that, and why did it change? Well, the word of the Lord came because that was the Lord telling Hezekiah, saying, listen, this thing will and can kill you. You're going to die from this infection if there isn't an intervention. And so Hezekiah prayed with great passion and fervency. And now this kind of effective prayer, what does it do? It overturns destinies. Think about that. The Lord was just making Hezekiah aware, listen, this thing is going to kill you if it goes unchanged. And so Hezekiah prayed with all of his heart, and it overturned that. It wasn't the Lord's will that Hezekiah die like that. It wasn't his, you know, it wasn't God's will, but that was God giving, you know, Hezekiah the hint, hey, turn to me, you know, praise the Lord. And of course, this isn't for selfish enrichment. How many of you know walking the healing power of God, that's not selfish enrichment. That's a promise of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he recovered. And God said, now because you've prayed so fervently with passion, he said, I'm going to give 15 more years to your life. And oh, by the way, you're going to defeat the enemy king. The city's going to be delivered. Everyone's going to be blessed because you knew how to pray with fervency. Hallelujah. This kind of prayer will overturn destinies. It will restore nations. It will restore communities. Amen. Notice all before praying in tongues even existed. So remember, just because I'm teaching on one aspect now doesn't mean I'm putting down another. Here in a few weeks, I'm going to start teaching us how to be effective, you know, praying in the Spirit. But just because we can pray in the Spirit doesn't mean we should not know how to pray effectively in known language. And this has been a thing that I've seen over the last several years that Christians have just started doing. They have very hem-haw prayers in their understanding, all right, and they just put it all off, say, well, I'll just pray in tongues and hopefully it'll just come out in the wash. No, you've got to have desires. You've got to have a fervency about what and, you know, who you want to see be changed and blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Hezekiah was passionate. So many things never happen because we simply don't want it bad enough. We simply are okay having it the same old way. If Hezekiah would have just been okay with that, he would have died. If he would have been like, well, that's, I mean, it would almost seem like, I mean, my goodness, when Isaiah the prophet walks in and says, thus saith the Lord, you're gonna die. Wouldn't that have been the easiest time for Hezekiah to say, oh my goodness, I'm gonna die. It's it. It's over. The prophet has spoken. But Hezekiah was not okay with it. He wanted it bad enough. He got fervent and passionate, and he cried out before God, and he did what the scripture says, is that we are to remind God of our merits. If you've been faithful to God, remind him of that. It's not a sin. It's just the opposite. God rewarded Hezekiah for doing so. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right? So many things just never happen because Christians don't bring any passion or compassion or heart's desires. Yeah, I see, you know, things in, you know, people's lives that I want. I'm going to tell you a little example of this, and I'm going to be, you know, discreet about it. But several weeks back, there was some issues, you know, with some certain people, you know, in this church, in our Jamestown church. And there was a couple of situations that were real tough, real dire, so to speak, you know, very, very tough. And, you know, I just came down to the church late at night. And, you know, I just decided, I was like, I am not praying for anything regarding me or my life or my ministry or anything. I am just going to go before God, and with everything I've got, you know, I'm going to cry out regarding these situations, you know, and I won't go into the circumstances, but just put it this way. They were very, very tough scenarios that people were facing. And lo and behold, it was not two full weeks before word came back to me on these situations that they were all completely restored. You know, and it was amazing. One situation in particular, I just prayed out with God. And this, again, was in known language. This was my own understanding. The situation, it touched my heart. I thought, I'm going to bring this before God. And as I prayed, it was like at the end of that prayer, it was like I knew something broke, something happened. It was like you could not convince me that that thing was not going to turn. And sure enough, it was maybe 10, 12 days later, I had gotten word that that thing had turned around. Praise God. You know, we've got to want it bad enough. Oh, Lord, if you can, maybe, blah, blah. You know, don't be weak like that. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. We got to wrap this up. And then, of course, we'll take a couple-minute break and then have our prayer. Go to Ephesians. Do you know that the New Testament is filled with prayers ordained of the Spirit within your known language? Go to Ephesians 1. We'll just read through these real fast. I always say my message is going to be short, and it isn't. But we got to make sure that we leave room for prayer. That is what we're here for. Go to Ephesians 1. Start over there in verse 15. This is Paul the Apostle by the Holy Ghost praying for the church at Ephesus. He says this, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints," he said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Look what he keeps praying for them. Verse 17, he says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And that is how you pray in a known language. Glory to God. He says, I cease not to pray for you and to give thanks for you, that God would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know the hope of his glory and what is the greatness of his power in the inheritance of the saints. Isn't that awesome? That was something that Paul prayed over and over in his known language. That's a prayer that you can take right out of the pages of the Bible and you can pray in your understanding. Do you think that kind of prayer is effective? It must be, because it's recorded in the New Testament for eternity. Go to chapter 3. He does it again. Look at verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you see these common themes in all these prayers? They're always boasting on how great God is. He is creator. He is the one in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Don't you love that? But we just come to God, oh, dear Father, I need this, I need that. No, spend some time and tell God who he is. Remind him of his greatness. Say, well, I'll just pray in tongues and hopefully it comes out in the wash. You're lazy. That's laziness. Well, that's all I'm going to do. Well, that's all you're going to do. And nowhere. See, the Spirit of God helps you to pray for things that you don't know. But I'm giving you the biblical evidence that you should know some things, have some desires that should be poured out before God on the behalf of others. That's what this Prayer 200 thing is all about, being a supply. At this prayer meeting, we're not going to pray for any of you here. No one that walks through these doors tonight to pray or, you know, is not going to get prayed for. You understand? Oh, I know. Boy, Pastor, you seem mean. No. We don't go to prayer meeting to be prayed for. We come to prayer meeting to be a supply. He says, this is the right spiritual tone of mind and heart. Pray for one another that you may be healed, that God will restore you because you are walking in the supply. Amen. Oh, but I'll tell you what, if people would get as desperate for others in their situation as they are about their own situations, their life would turn around. Their life would turn around. They are so consumed with the thought of their own stuff, trials, and needs. But if you would get as desperate before God for someone else's needs as you are for your own, things would start changing around us. All right. Verse 16, he says, I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. That is how you pray effectively in your known language. That is how you pray. Praise the Lord. Go over to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read a couple others, and then we're going to get to some praying. Go to Philippians 1:9. Aren't you glad you came here tonight? Yes. Pastor, I just pray a little bit in my known language. I don't know. I make my requests. I say just a few things, and that's it. You better take it to another level with desire, passion, things that you want to see happen. Philippians 1:9. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Yes. that you may approve things that are excellent. It means so that you will know what things are excellent in your life and what aren't. The things that God has chosen for you versus the things that you have chosen for you. That you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. How about praying that for your children? You know, how about praying that for your church family? How about praying that for your friends or your colleagues or whatever? Father, I pray they'd be filled with all the fruits of righteousness. Is there anybody in your life that you just want to see serve God? Pour your heart out like that before the Father. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and we'll end here. Go to verse 9 again, Colossians 1, 9. Notice Paul didn't just say, I'll pray in the Spirit for you. No doubt he did. But notice that was not, you know, what he just threw it off and, you know, put it off for. He had real desires for these Christians. He said, I pour out my heart for those Christians in Ephesus. I pour out my heart for them in Philippi. And now he's going to pour his heart out for those in Colossae. Look at verse 9. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to, say the next word with me, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Do you see what Paul prayed? Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that are slipping and falling in this life. They're falling into sin. And of course, they have a responsibility. Do not misunderstand what I'm about to say. But many have kept doing that and doing that because no one in the body of Christ is praying for them. Yeah. You know, imagine if, you know, you had somebody, you know, praying for you that way. Imagine if you were praying for somebody that way. Amen. Paul says, we have not stopped to pray this. We desire that you would stand whole and complete in all the will of God. Amen. Folks, do you see what I'm saying here? We can be effective praying in our understanding as well as praying in the Spirit. We cannot just say, well, I pray in the Spirit, but I don't really ever have any desires or any plan or things that I just want to see happen in the lives of others. See, we've got to have some desires, some passions. And so that's what we're going to be doing here tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to be praying for our nation. We're going to be praying for our region. We're going to be praying for the body of Christ. We're going to be praying for those that don't know Jesus. Amen. And again, please don't misunderstand me. It's not that I'm trying to be insensitive towards the people that are here, but we've got to train the body of Christ to be a supply instead of thinking that prayer meeting just caters to them. You understand that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to conclude this. We're going to receive our normal tithes and offerings on Wednesday night here, and then we're going to take just a couple of minutes intermission, if you need to use the restroom or take care of your children, and then we're going to jump right into praying. Father God, we love you tonight. We praise you. Father, we see these great examples. We see King Hezekiah, he turned to the wall, he prayed with all of his heart, and Father, destinies were overturned, not just for him, but that entire nation. Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you for the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous person makes great power available. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to sow. As we've heard the word, it's right for us to be givers. So, Lord, we just give you all the praise tonight. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Praise the Lord. Everyone, you can go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to take just a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to jump into prayer. So folks, if you need to, you know, just stretch for a second, if you need to run to the restroom, take care of your children, let's go ahead, take a quick break, and then we'll jump right into prayer.